be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he doesn't follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There's no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the most delightful things when I was working at Espírito Santo was a Portuguese expression. Whenever you'd say, "I'll see you tomorrow," "Até amanhã," everybody would say in response, "Se Deus quiser," "if God should will it." And I used to surprise people every once in a while, and it's just like, "I love it when you quote St. James to me," and they say, "What?" It had so profoundly penetrated the culture that they didn't even know where the expression came from any longer. St. James describes it for us today. How we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to appreciate every day, is a tremendous gift to the Lord. You who say, "Tomorrow or today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, do some business for a year, make a profit," you have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. Instead, you should say, "If the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that." The Lord wants. It's a beautiful way to live. I mentioned before that this letter to St. James has been treated by most scripture scholars as a commentary in the Sermon on the Mount. It was in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember, where Jesus said, "Tomorrow will take care of itself. Why should you worry about tomorrow?" Se Deus quiser, God wills it. That doesn't mean just in terms of making plans for a year or 2 years down the road. It also very much is meant to influence the way we go about every day, seeking always to do the will of the Lord, to do whatever the Lord wills. Today in the Gospel reading, we see pretty clearly what His will is, but it's something to which the first apostles were blind. "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him." Really? So you'd prefer the demons would continue to possess those people, as if that could possibly have been the will of the Lord. Why did they try to stop him? Because he doesn't walk with us. He doesn't follow us. So Jesus, with great patience, explained, "Do not prevent him. There's no one who performs a miracle like this in my name who at the same time can speak ill of me." And then a principle, "Whoever is not against us is for us." We should want that everybody is driving out demons in the Lord's name. Everyone is invoking the name of the Lord. The apostle had the simplistic idea that Jesus' name was a magical talisman. Say it and poof, out go the demons. It's never the way it is. It's always God who is working that miracle. And therefore, if this person invoking the name of Jesus is an instrument through which there's an exorcism, it's only by God's will. The apostles were still too elemental in their following the Lord to grasp that central point. What is the Lord's will? He says at the end, "For whoever is not against us is for us." But it's always important for us to focus on a parallel passage here. When Jesus talks about casting out demons, and he's accused of casting out the devil by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of devils. And they go on with this entire explanation. And Jesus at the very end says, "Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." Seems almost the exact opposite of what he's saying here. Here, whoever's not against us is for us. There, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever doesn't gather with me scatters. How do the two go together? What actually is God's will when it seems contradictory? There are two harmonizations, both of which are very important for us to grasp as Catholics. First one, it is possible to be with Jesus without being with those who are explicitly following him. That Jesus is sheep that are not of this flock. He who founded the church for our salvation isn't himself limited by what he founded. He can go outside. And so there are others who aren't Catholic, who are actually doing the will of the Lord. We need to be open to that. They can be with Jesus without being with those who are explicitly following him. Second is when it refers to us, there are parts of us that are with the Lord, and there are parts of us that are not. Parts that are gathering together with Jesus, parts that are actually scattering. We're not yet fully 100% with the Lord. I hope that we want to be. That is absolutely what God wills for us. But a lot of the times we're on that journey, and we're taking our flesh to try to unite itself with our willing spirit. Jesus wills that we not stop others who are growing in that direction. But he does will at the same time that we try to invite them into full communion. It's not God's will that there be 35,000 Protestant denominations in the U.S. alone. It's not his will that the Catholic Church that he founded be divided among old and young, among conservatives and progressives and liberals and traditionalists. That's not his will. His will is for us to be as united as he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are united, as Jesus prayed during that first Mass. Father, may they all be one, as I am in you and you are in me. And so at the same time, while we're not stopping people from doing mighty deeds in the Lord's name, from preaching the gospel with fire, from incredible acts of charity, we should never stop. That's what the Lord wants. But not stopping is not the same thing as not inviting them in to full communion, which we've been treasured to see. Because there are parts of them too that are not with the Lord, and parts of them that are. So God's always going to try to fan the flames of those parts that are in communion with him, while at the same time calling deeper those parts that are not. Today, as we come forward to receive him in Holy Communion, we need to examine our lives. We need to see those parts, thanks be to God, that are already in communion with him, but also to have the honesty to recognize those parts of our life that we're trying selfishly to keep to ourselves, those parts that we don't want to change, those segments in which he's not yet fully Lord. This is what the Lord wills, not for tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, as we're in another city. But it's what Deus quiser, hoje. It's what he wants today. Let's finally give him what he wants.